extremely thankful for the invitation to minister in Brother Rutledge's pulpit and to be with he and his good wife and family and this fine assembly. These nice people, all these good smiling faces on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm glad to be alive.
Sure.
And I'd rather be here than in the best hospital in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I really have. In fact, I'd rather be here in the best prison in the state of Arkansas. We thank God for His blessings. And we appreciate the opportunity to be here and to try our best to minister the Word of God. We are not here to do anything but elevate Jesus Christ. And pardon the reference, but if I stood here and said, Jesus, 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 for 30 minutes and said nothing else, I preached a good sermon. But I tell you, sometimes I get tired of hearing people talking about everything but Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. He is the answer. We're glad to see all of you here in the house of God.
Hallelujah.
Would you mind just for a minute to stand with me right now?
Hallelujah.
1 Peter 2 verse 9 said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people.
Amen.
Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say, you're peculiar, will you? Well, glory. I thank God I'm a one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost. Thank God for the truth of God's Word. In the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible said the Lord appeared to Abram, and he said in these words, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God.
Amen.
Not we are, I.
Amen.
And beside me, not beside us, but beside me, there is no God. Now, notice, God said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Someone answered Isaiah 9 and 6 where Jesus was called the Mighty God by saying there's a lot of mighty gods, but there's not but one Almighty God. And God said, I am the Almighty God. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible said, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty. Now, who's the speaker in Revelation 1 verse 8? Revelation 1 verse 7 identifies the speaker, said he's come with clouds, and they also which pierced him. Who was pierced? Jesus was the one that was pierced, and he said, I'm the Almighty God. I don't serve a second person of a so-called Trinity. I serve one God. His name is Jesus. Isaiah 44 verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isaiah 41:4, God said again, I'm the first and I'm the last. But along come Jesus in Revelation 1 verse 11, and he said, I am the first and the last.
Yeah.
And in verse 17, John said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Revelation 22:13, Jesus said again, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
Amen.
I'm glad to know who Jesus is today. Jesus said in John 14:9, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Hallelujah. Not two, not three, one. 1 John 2:20, Jesus said through John, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, not Holy
free.
Thank God there's no blessed Trinity, there's blessed unity. Thank God.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. You may be seated.
Now, we want God to do something today. We want the Spirit of God to move. We enjoyed Brother Senesaw's testimony. I was his wife's pastor during those turbulent years, and I can verify every bit of it's the truth and more, too. And thank God the Lord reached down his hand and saved him. I tell you what, we were all in the same boat. Thank God for the salvation hand of the Lord. How many are glad he reached down his hand for you? I see some people, they act like the Lord got a hold of a great prize when he got a hold of them. And how blessed it is for us to have them in our presence. Let me tell you, the Lord didn't get anything when he got me. I believe I came up to this. How many are glad the Lord got a hold of you? Say praise the Lord. We're going to have my daughter come and sing at this time. We want her to sing whatever God laid on her heart. Lord bless her. And I'd like for you to have your Bibles, if you will, please. And let's get into the Word of God in a few minutes. Lord bless her, she sings.
Praise the Lord. My song kind of goes along with Brother Chuck's song. Brother Senesaw, rather, we call him Brother Chuck. His testimony of only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Bless God.
The world may try to satisfy their longing in your soul. You may search the wild world over. Oh, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find your satisfaction. Oh, until you found the Lord.
God. Let's stand together one more time. Would you raise your hands with me today? Let us raise our hands in honor to the Word of God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Praise God.
We're trusting that the Lord will bless us today.
Hallelujah.
We're trusting that the Word of God will find ready hearers. Ready hearers.
Amen.
Enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, Brother Hanks. Amen. Good to see Brother Franks again. Lord bless him. All you other good people, Lord bless you. We want the Word of God.
Amen.
To find a favorable reception in your heart.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Right.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Yes.
Psalms 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the Word of God is permanent. I could tell you a funny story. I could make you laugh. We could be jocose. We could talk about current things that make you think, well, this is nice to talk about. But in a few years, it will be nothing but history. But the Word of God is constant, it's perpetual, it's unending, it's unchangeable, it's unalterable, it's immutable. In fact, it's irresistible, indomitable, unconquerable, infallible. Let me tell you, if you'll build on the Word of God, you'll stand forever. Kingdoms come and go, empires rise and fall, kings live and die, but the Word of God lives on and on and on. I want to build on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I thank God for the privilege of belonging to a church that's founded on the Word of the Lord. I have a burden on my heart. I shall try to transmit it to you by the help of God. You'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to read the first part of it for a text. Chapter 4, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. This is the words of Paul. We wish to use these little phrases for a textual reference today. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. Would you say those words with me? We are fools for Christ's sake. I'm going to preach to you today, if the Spirit will help me, on a subject entitled, Wanted, More Fools.
All right.
Let's bow our heads. Brother Rutledge, pray for us.
Father in heaven, help us today in our every need. Open the ears of our understanding. Soften our heart if it needs that. Oh God, shake us up. Give us what we need from your word. Bless Brother there, give him the message that he wants to deliver with holy anointing from God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I suppose this morning, if I could take a poll of every member of this church and say, what do you think this church needs most? Some of you perhaps would say, bigger building. Others would say more money. Surely what we need is more education. Better social program for the youth. We need teacher training programs. And the list could go on and on and on. But let me sort of condense what I feel the church needs mostly today. It's just pure and simple people that will become fools for Christ's sake. That are willing with wild abandon to follow recklessly the course of the apostles and the course that Jesus has set out, and to go anywhere and to do anything that the Scriptures preach and teach for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
There is no greater cause than the cause of the gospel. There is no greater purpose that you can become a fool for than the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said Himself in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Amen. Then He said again in Matthew 10 verse 22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Jesus gave the prescription for a successful life, and it runs rather opposite to what the world teaches. The world says, you've got to get all the education you can. You've got to scratch for all the money you can possess to assure yourself of a good measure of happiness. But Jesus said in Matthew 10 verse number 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Jesus taught the way up was down. The way in was out. The way to become rich was to become poor. The way to be elevated is to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. We get it backwards. We get it backwards. Jesus taught in Matthew 19 verse 29 these wonderful words, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, a father, a mother, a wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." We've got it all backwards. We think today to be comfortable and secure in financial security and wrap ourselves in the cocoon of much money and much material possessions is a guarantee of happiness. Let me tell you, what the church needs today is more fools for Christ's sake that are willing to be laughed at, mocked at, satired, leered, poked fun at, ridiculed, mimicked. People that are willing, when the Spirit of God falls, to dance in the Spirit and to speak in tongues and to hear the Word of God and not be afraid to say, "Amen, preach it, preacher! Amen, preach it, preacher!" Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." Oh yes, we don't want to be delivered unto death. The cross is the way home. We got to learn how to die. Die to selfish ambition. Die to pride. Die to self-will. Die to what we want to do with our lives. And be willing to go out and be what Jesus wants us to be. The life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Thank God for the privilege of being a fool for Christ's sake. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 3, Paul said, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in persecutions, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by the love of God, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, as having nothing, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." We got it all backwards. We got it all backwards. We think we got to have the title to half a dozen cars and a home in the country and a home in the city and $55,000 in the bank before we got security. Listen, every man that follows Jesus Christ has got security. preached for a fellow here a while back, and he said, I'm saving everything I can. The basement was full of canned goods, and he was storing every place he could store. Now, there's nothing wrong with laying out. Don't misunderstand me. But I read in my Bible a little verse of Scripture that said, once I was young, and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Sometimes we get it backwards. My God, help us to be fools for Christ's sake.
Lord,
how big a fool was Paul? Ah, this man loved the gospel. Romans 1:16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. Oh, he had the unblushing face. Never ashamed. He was not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel today. You can call me a holy roller, as one fellow said, a roly holer. You can say what you will. I'm glad to be a tongue talking, Jesus' name baptized. A one God, Bible believing, heaven believing, hell believing, Christian. Praise the Lord! Yes, sir. Sometimes I wished for the tongues of 1,000 angels and the roar of a Niagara to be able to say what's in my heart. I'm glad to be a fool for Christ. Praise the Lord! We search for the sitar. We search for that which is firm that we can see with our eyes. We search for that which we know we have and we know we can trust in this life only. Oh, let me tell you, there's another world out there. There's another life coming. My God, help us to look up and beyond this veil of tears.
Yes, hallelujah.
Well, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek.
Right.
You know what this same Apostle Paul was, my friend? You can read of it in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in the 23rd verse. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. What would you do if your preacher got in prison? There'd be a room in town. Oh, I wonder what wrong he did. I don't know. Maybe it ought to be one of the best things that might happen to the Pentecostal movement is as much our preachers got put in jail for preaching the gospel, that is. Praise the Lord. But oh, we want to be accepted in the higher echelons of society. And we're competing with the upper crust now. Of course, the upper crust is nothing but a bunch of crumbs as far as I'm concerned. And oh, we want to get into the Pentecostal silk stocking district. And we believe that we can be like they are. I don't want to ever be anything but a fool for Christ's sake.
Hallelujah!
A fool for Christ's sake.
Hallelujah!
Well, he said in prisons more frequent. In deaths off. In journeyings. Yes, sir. You know what he said? Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Oh, my. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the seas. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Listen, Paul was never ashamed of what he was, no matter where he was at. He was not ashamed of the gospel when he was coldly suspected by his fellow believers in Jerusalem. He was not ashamed of the gospel when he was stoned and left for dead at Lystra. He was not ashamed of the gospel when he was put in jail and beaten with many stripes in Philippi. He was not ashamed of the gospel when he was pursued by callous enmity at Berea, when he was persecuted at Thessalonica. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. When he was despised at Athens. Not ashamed of it when he was put in prison at Rome. And when the executioner came to kill him, he still was not ashamed of the gospel. Unblushing. Hallelujah. A fool for Christ's sake. Here was a man that was a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. The Bible tells me he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He could have perhaps been a member of the Sanhedrin. A man with a glorious bright future in the religion of his day among the Jews. But he became a fool. A fool for Christ's sake. I say, God, give us more fools. More fools. I thought about this the other day, and I'll hasten on. You know, when Robert Fulton invented the steamship, it was called Fulton's Folly. But you know, it worked. Alexander Graham Bell talked about talking through a wire, and people laughed, but it worked.
Amen.
Edison said he perhaps had an idea where he could fix up some way where you could have light in the nighttime, and people laughed, but it worked. That's right. That's right. Cyrus McCormick said he could build a reaper that could do the work of a lot of people in a short length of time. They laughed, but he did, and it worked. Isn't that right? Amen. Oh, wasn't it just a little while back that they said he's going to the moon, and I heard people all around the country said, well, I'll tell you the truth, they'll never make it. They did. Your grandpa was told that men could fly through the air. He said, if God intended man to fly, he'd put wings on them. But man's flying today. Transcontinental, intercontinental. That's right. People laugh and scoff at the unknown. Let me tell you something. My brother and sister in Christ, if the Bible says it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. If he said he could heal, I believe he can heal anything. If he said he could give you the Holy Ghost, I don't believe there's enough devils in hell to stop you from receiving it.
Right.
I'm just foolish enough to believe it.
Right.
The Bible tells me all things are possible with God. Then I believe he can make a way where there is no way. I believe he can raise the dead. He can cleanse the lepers. He can open the blinded eyes. He can unstop the deaf ears. And he can melt the frozen fountains of speech into liquid language. We just need some people that are foolish enough to believe that God says what he means, and he means what he says. We need more fools. Now I want to get down to preaching. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now I want you to turn there in your Bibles, chapter 1, verse 18 of Corinthians, because you look at me like I'm saying something weird. It's right there in your Bible. I want you to go out of here saying, preacher, I'm going to be a fool for Christ's sake. Chapter 1, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians. The Bible said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Amen.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, the symbol of an ignominious death, the lowest, most despicable way it could die, the Roman means of execution, reserved for the basis of criminals, for the lowest of the low. Yet Jesus died on a Roman cross. And the world today shuns the cross. But oh, I say, preacher, preach to me the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But oh, that cross means more to me than the Roman means of execution. The cross to me is the bridge across the chasms of despair. The cross to me is Jacob's ladder. The cross to me is the way home. The cross to me is the power of God. Hallelujah! For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The astrologer with his telescope has never looked upon the bright and morning star that arose above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. The geologist with his crowbar and hammer has never found the rock of ages. The horticulturist, why, he's never looked upon the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon that I know today. Ah, oh, the lawyer may argue his case in the court of law with the eloquence of a Socrates, but he don't know the advocate that I know today. He don't know the counselor that I know today. Yes, sir, the jeweler may look upon the Hope Diamond, or he may look upon some priceless jewel, or some ruby, or some sapphire, but he don't know the pearl of great price that I know about today.
Hallelujah.
A newspaper man may get the scoop on another newspaper, but he hasn't got the good tidings of great joy that I've got today. The oculist you go to that fits those eyeglasses on you may know just how to grind them to precision, but does he know the light of the world? Oh, this goes on and on. The philanthropist that gives away his millions and endows and underwrites the foundations of this world, does he know the one that can give away eternal life and can give away healing and can give away forgiveness of sins and can take a man out of the lowest degradation of sin and raise him up? No, he don't know about him. Yes, the philosopher, he stands up and spouts his philosophy. But, oh, does he know the real wisdom? I tell you, you don't know a thing till you know the real wisdom. And the real wisdom is the wisdom of God. And to know who Jesus is. And the man that knows everything is the one that's a fool for Christ's sake. And there are many preachers that are preaching today that are preaching a lot of things but what they ought to preach. Thank God for the Word of God that we can preach today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The sculptor has never known the living stone. This goes on and on. So the Scripture said the world by wisdom knew not God. You'll never find Him in the universities, the ivy-covered towers of knowledge. The University of Arkansas won't teach you that Jesus is God.
No.
Rhodes Scholarship will never teach you baptism in Jesus' name.
Bless God.
Yale, Purdue University, Harvard, they'll never teach you that the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is for you today.
That's right.
The world by wisdom knew not God.
Hallelujah.
It pleased God by the foolishness of
preaching
to save them that believe. I don't know about you. You can go your way, I'll go mine. But there's one thing I want. I want to please God. And the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, it didn't say foolish preaching.
Amen.
As far as I'm concerned, some preachers that don't spend any more time on their sermons, if a newspaper ever is published in heaven, their sermons will end up in the funny papers, for sure. They think a good laugh, a good joke's all there is to a sermon. I like to laugh. I think it's good to have something funny to say. But that's not the sum and substance of our sermon. Some others get some far-out material like, is there any life on Mars? And try to tell us about the other planets and solar system and exhibit and parade their knowledge, you know. I got no new stories to tell. Only thing I got to tell you is there was a cross at Calvary.
Yeah.
Jesus died on that cross, and His blood was shed. And if you want to be saved, you kneel at an old-fashioned altar of repentance and sincere, heartfelt turning to God. If you'll be baptized in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, in the lovely, lovable, matchless name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you receive the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. That's what God wants you to hear. But we think it's out of order. I don't think preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost is ever out of order. They had preaching on the day of Pentecost. Now, there's times you don't have preaching, of course. But nevertheless, the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, how are you going to satisfy both? One wants wisdom. And the others wants a miracle-working power.
Yeah.
Well, here's how to do it. Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified.
Oh, right. God,
so if you're here today with 10,000 books under your arms, or you're one of them that says, raise the dead and I'll believe it, then I'm just going to tell you, I've got one answer for you. I'm going to preach Christ crucified.
Jesus. Lord.
Under the Jews a stumbling block, and under the Greeks foolishness. But under them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
That's right.
I said the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Right.
And God hath chosen. Notice that. God hath chosen. That's wrong. Something's wrong with our churches. We choose too many. I don't believe in a board-run church anyhow.
We choose too many things.
Right.
Higher and fire, raise up and down. I'm just preaching. The Bible said God had chosen. We're afraid of a new convert coming into church. They're going to get our position. And we got seniority because we've been in this 99,000 years. And ain't nobody going to take my place. Right. Brother, if God wants to choose somebody else, let's let Him choose them. Remember when we first got the Holy Ghost, we had that wild-eyed enthusiasm and that zeal for Christ. Some of us need to go back and get that same enthusiasm once over again. Y'all keep sitting there like that, and I'm going to lose my dignity in a minute. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to start telling them. Hallelujah. It pleased God. This is the way God does it. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world. Base things of the world. And things which are despised. Amen. Yeah, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, I'm not against Bible schools. I'm not against you getting a higher education. But don't ever forget this. Ignorance is a scourge. But knowledge void of the fear of God is a worse scourge.
Oh, God is true.
And what we need, and you can fire me even before you hire me, but I'm going to tell you.
No.
What we need is not more higher education, not more money. Not finer buildings and more air conditioning and padded pews. What we need is not 99 more men on the trustee board. What we need is not 100,000 more Sunday school teachers in the local church. What we need is the people we have to get together and say, I'm going to be a fool for Christ's sake. If Jesus took 12 disciples and one of them was a devil, and He started a church that turned the world upside down, turned Jerusalem upside down, men that had a wild look in their eyes. Men that were fanatics for Christ. Men that sold out everything for Him. What can He do with you? And me. And all of us. Come on, folks.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the harlot of the town has no place in our church. The despised, the drunkard, the reviler, the blasphemer, the wino, the scum of society. What we need! Let's get the banker saved. Let's get the mayor saved. If we could only get the governor coming to our church. The senators. The rich. The educated. You see, I just read in your hearing, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. There's nothing good in my flesh. Nothing. I'd just as soon pull myself up by my own bootstraps, go over Niagara Falls in a gunny sack, sail the wild Atlantic in a paper boat, and climb a 100-foot thorn tree with a bobcat under each arm, and come down without a scratch on me, as to say I can go to heaven in my own flesh, by my own flesh, by my own wisdom. Some of us are trying to do it. We've got this down packed. Two songs, a testimony, a collection, a sermon, and we've had church. My God, help us! We need to be fools for Christ's sake. The Holy Ghost wants to get on you and tells you to run this aisle. You better get up and run.
Hallelujah.
But what they going to think about me? Who cares what they going to think about you? The Holy Ghost tells you, if you'll raise your hands right now, I'll heal you. You raise your hands right now. The Holy Ghost tells you, if you'll go to the altar, I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. You get up and run. We put such a damper and a quietus and a bit and the bridle and the harness. We put such a lien on this boiling cauldron of the Holy Ghost. We want the harness.
medicine and put it in some quiet corner and bring it out every Sunday morning and shut it up again. I say it's time for the Holy Ghost to run rampant Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
God give us fools.
Fools! Fools! Fools!
God knows we've got enough educated ones. Fools for Christ.
Glory to God.
Wanted more fools. We don't want you in your wisdom. We don't want you in your money. We don't want you in your family connections. We don't want you in your political pool. We don't want you in your technological know-how, in your carpentry, in your masonry. We don't want you in your electrical understanding. Away with such rubbish. We want your soul and heart and mind dedicated to an altar of sacrifice. Hallelujah! I feel like a skunk at a lawn party right now.
But I'm telling you the truth, folks. God needs to shake some of you out of your shell. God needs to put a bomb under some of you and shake you up like you used to be when you cried and sobbed and fasted and prayed.
Oh, now we've got it down respectable.
Oh, God, give me that wild-eyed enthusiasm I used to have for the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Pentecost will never be accepted in the council of churches or the way the world goes. I want us to be the way we've always been.
Hallelujah!
And no flesh should go in His presence.
Glory, glory.
You'll never make it because you're good looking. Most of us would never make it anyhow. You'll never make it because your fingernails are manicured. And you got on a $100 set of glasses. A $400 hearing aid. A $50 pair of alligator shoes. Or you live in a brick house. That's the reason why we're going to make heaven. If I ever, my God, walk the street of gold through the gates of pearl, it'll be because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I was baptized in His name and I became a fool for Christ's sake. I came out of my shell. I came out of my introverted ways. I came out of my spiritual wallflower-itis. I said, Jesus, if Mama don't want to go, I'm a-going anyhow. If Daddy don't want to go, I'm a-going anyhow. If my husband don't want to pray, I'm going to pray anyhow. I'm going to be a fool.
But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. I think God's tired of this overuse of the personal pronoun I. I did this. I did that. I. Sounds like Nebuchadnezzar. Is not this Babylon that I built? Yes, sir. Listen, if we're going to glory, let's be like Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. How many raise their hand with this preacher and say, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't know anything today about God. I wouldn't have the Holy Ghost. Not in glory, not in the Bible school, not in the universities, not in the big churches, not in their wisdom, not in glory, in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. I know I'm handling dynamite, but I'm used to handling it. Let me tell you, we need to get back to the basics. My God, help us.
Hallelujah.
Everybody said amen, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I told you I was a fool. You know, they said of Paul in Acts 17:18, when he got to Athens, they said, what will this babbler say? Brother Al, I hope this town gets to the place when your preacher walks in the bank, and when he walks into the lumber yard and he walks into the grocery store, they're going to say, what will this babbler say?
Yeah.
I hope when they see you, they won't look at you, my, what a fine, upstanding, respectable citizen. What a fine fellow with a lot of money to put in our bank or buy a lot of groceries. I hope when they see you, all they're going to see is a Pentecost rolled all over you, Holy Ghost rolled all over you. And every time they look at you, they're going to say, I wonder what this babbler's going to say. That's right. Some of our neighbors only know of us because we're respectable and we cut roses and plant petunias and raise good grass. I want them to look across the backyard fence when they see me coming and say, wonder what this babbler's going to say.
Glory!
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 Hallelujah!
Glory!
Festus looked at Paul one time in Acts 26:24. And Paul was rattling him off one of those one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking sermons. And Festus looked at him in Acts 26, verse 24, and he said, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. Hallelujah. The side column says, crazy. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm crazy for Jesus today.
Yeah.
Now, I'm staying right in the Bible. Let's go to chapter 2. I'll hurry. I do not get paid for the hour, believe me. I will hurry, praise the Lord. I didn't come to entertain you.
That's all right, brother.
I come to preach to you. If I can't preach to you, I'll move on. That's the way your pastor feels. My God, we need preaching like we've never needed before. I need it. We all need it. But I want you to preach me the Word.
My brethren,
when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What a beautiful portrayal and what a searing indictment of some of the petite, sweet little speeches some of us have a habit of crossing every T and dotting every I.
Yeah.
Such as, it goes without saying, it's an over-exaltation of my physiological potentiality. And we take two steps to the right and say, I'm so happy to be here. God bless you. We appreciate being in your august presence in this esteemed company. However, there are some of you here that I feel like are a double portion of quintessence of consummate inane imbecile and hopeless acidity. Oh my, he got a lot of learning. All them big words. Say some of us wouldn't use a 10-cent word where a $5 one would do. Paul said he used great plainness of speech.
Right.
Put it down to where I can understand.
Right.
Came not unto you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My God. You take away the clothesline from some preachers and they couldn't preach a sermon to save their neck.
That's right.
And I'm against the evils of TV, but you take TV preaching away from some and they couldn't preach a sermon. You take preaching against short hair away from some and they couldn't preach a sermon. You take away short dresses from some and they couldn't preach a sermon. Paul said, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My God, I'm hungry to hear about Jesus. The story of the old rugged cross never gets old to me.
Hallelujah.
Tell it to me again, yeah. The words,
yeah,
of the old rugged cross.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling.
Bless God.
My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom.
Praise God.
Now, I don't believe we need to slaughter the King's English. But again, we don't need to show how much knowledge we have to. But in demonstration of the Spirit and the power.
Glory to God.
God help us. We need some Holy Ghost demonstrating.
Glory.
We need the power of God like we've never needed it before.
Hallelujah.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Hallelujah.
Don't misunderstand me. I love my country. I am not a flag burner or draft card burner.
I thank God for the United States and religious constitutional freedom. I pray for my president, no matter what political persuasion. I pray for those in authority, right on down the line, even to the teachers in our classrooms. They've all got a big job on their hands. I love my country. I want peace in this wicked world. But I've got sense enough to know I can't put my faith in the awesome missilery or power of the United States military, or the United Nations, or the fickle minds of political men that tries to solve the naughty problems of this world.
Oh God.
I can't put my faith there. My faith is not in the wisdom of men. What's it in, preacher? Paul said, but in the power of God. Power of God. I don't care what problem you have, economic, social, domestic, external, internal, regardless, an old-fashioned praying through will solve more problems than any psychiatrist or psychologist ever could.
That's right.
You can't get along with somebody in this church? Both of you go pray through and hug one another's neck.
Have get it. Have get it.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep shouting.
Praise the Lord! Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Amen.
Let not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that are come to naught.
Amen.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Oh, I've got some hidden wisdom today. Hallelujah. It's God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Or had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That means the Lord of Shekinah, or the glory that was in the Holy of Holies that rested between the cherubims on the mercy seat. That glory, that Shekinah, was Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh. If you only knew who was walking these aisles this morning.
That's right.
You only knew the Spirit that you hear. You become a fool of the first magnitude for Christ today.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, I count it a privilege to know Him.
Yes, my God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath what? Prepared for them that love Him. Oh, we say that heaven's some mysterious realm that we know nothing about. I don't quite believe that.
No.
I believe the Holy Ghost is a little bit of heaven to go to heaven with.
Right.
I believe it's a foretaste. I believe it's a little earnest on our inheritance.
Sure.
I believe it's like looking through the knothole in a fence. I believe we're getting a little taste and looking at what heaven's just going to be like. Because the next verse said, but God hath revealed it unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Right.
For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Amen.
Which things also we speak. Get on your telephone, talk about Jesus. Write a letter, talk about Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Cross the backyard fence, talk about Jesus. If you want to gossip, gossip Jesus. Hallelujah! Which things also we speak.
Amen.
Not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Read it. For they are foolishness unto him. You sit here today without the Holy Ghost, and I tell you there is a Holy Ghost experience. It's foolishness to you. But that doesn't change it. It's still real. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. And notice this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?
Right.
Hallelujah.
I was praying the other day, asking God to help me have an answer. People say they'd rather obey Jesus than Peter about water baptism. And they say, Jesus said Matthew 28:19. Peter said Acts 2:38. I'd rather take Jesus' words than Peter. Of course, I know we use the first chapter of Acts where Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. But I think God gave me a little better way. Listen to it. In the last verse, 14, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?
Look at this. Look at it. But we have the mind of Christ. Who's we? Paul. How did Paul baptize? Acts 19, 1 through 5. He baptized in Jesus' name. And Paul said, I've got the mind of Christ. Oh, thank God. When you're baptized in Jesus' name and when you receive the Holy Ghost, you have the mind of Christ. Furthermore, Christ is the Holy Ghost. Christ is the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
I'm going to close with that because I'm fool enough to tell you Jesus is God. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. I'm glad to tell you, I'm a fool for Christ. Here it is, in closing. John 4:24, God is a spirit, singular. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, one spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that spirit. That spirit. One spirit. God's a spirit. Let's find out who the Lord is. We found out who the Spirit is. And in turn, we found out who God is. Acts 9:5. Who art thou, Lord? That word Lord is translated Jehovah in some translation. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. The Lord's the Spirit. There's one Spirit. God's the Spirit. So Jesus must be God. Furthermore, Jesus is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?
Right.
And I ain't no reprobate. I'm a fool, but I'm not a Trinitarian! I'm going to get on that one God yet. Hallelujah! Philippians 1:19, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. He's the Father. He's the Son. And I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Hallelujah! Let's stand and praise Him. Another verse and chorus. Give you an opportunity. I feel there might be some that wants to come and pray. My father, which is in his grave, said many years ago, something I'll never forget. He said, exalt the cross. God has hung the destiny of the human race upon it. And the things we may do in the realms of social and philanthropic reforms, but nothing transcends the power of that old rugged cross. I give you an invitation to become a fool for Christ this morning. If some of you have become a little cold and set in your ways, you don't have the fervency and the zeal that you used to have, I invite you to come and pray through again today. You feel a need to come and pray again. Would you do it? Let's sing it again. Sing it!
Yeah.
Would you raise your hands? Would you raise your hands and sing it today? Would you bow your heads a moment?
Hallelujah.
Is there one would raise their hand for prayer this day and say, pray for me, preacher. I need the Lord. Are there any today? God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Is there another today would raise their hand and say, pray for me. God bless you, sir. Is there another? Perhaps there's some of you that are a little cold in your soul. You don't have what you used to have, and you know your need of praying through. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I need to get back where I used to be. I've become too settled. I need to be a fool for Christ. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Are there others today? God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. I feel such a need for this. I know there's many here today, and all of us can't perhaps crowd around the altar, but I feel led by the Spirit. I'm going to ask you that raised your hands first to come. We're going to give you first choice. Every one of you that raised your hands, I want you to come and stand at this altar. Every one of you that raised your hands, come on. Would you come? Raise your hands in the sight of God. Would you do it today? Ask the Lord to help you to be what you need to be. Come on today. Come on. Every one of you that raised your hands. I'm asking everybody else, please. I want you to come as far forward as you can. Come on, everybody. I'm not dismissing you. Let's sing this together. Okay.